This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots, feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live on your Friday afternoon. We are previewing the big boys, our trade targets, and answering your questions. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere! Boston to go! From inside the corner! Sheed from the boundary! Dusty!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I'm joined by the coach of the Oxlongs, Luke Rogerson. And do we have a tech issue? Is this the first one of the season, Luke?
We could do, mate. It's
the mic wasn't sounding too good there, was
no,
it?
No, it wasn't. It wouldn't be like us to go a few weeks without a tech issue. So
audio is cooked, people could, are saying. So
it could be. Let's just wait and see. We're trying to track it here on our laptop as well, see if we can identify what's going on. But let me check.
No, that sounds all right now.
Sounds better. Fingers crossed we're good after the intro.
Yeah, okay. All
right. Adam's straight into me. Adam reckons it's my job. Do I look like the tech guy, do I?
You're wearing the headphones, mate, so that makes you the tech guy. But same sort of happened on the Q&A podcast and the Patreon for some reason. Maybe I'm pressing the wrong button or something. I don't know. But we're back on. Actually, you know what I think it is? I think I'm associating me with two.
You think you're one, mate.
No, I've been turning 2-1, but I'm number one.
Turn them both on, mate. I want the people to hear me as well.
All right, I think I'm getting mixed up with the numbers there. So that's all good. No, nothing wrong with the tech, just complete user error. You know, just the rookies that we are. But
right, take it back, Adam. It was Mitch.
Let's talk about footy, mate.
Let's do it.
We had a game last night. Nothing super eventful. I didn't have many players playing. Do you have many players playing?
I had a couple of players playing.
Well, first of all, the people in the the Patreon, they're calling you the rookie whisperer. You know, the man that can see the future with these rookies, because on our Patreon, you said Zach Reed, 80 plus. He comes out, scores an 83. Please tell us what else is going to happen this round.
You can call me whatever you like. I call myself a prophet. Some call me a fucking legend. And both are correct. Because
the Ashcroft.
I knew Ashcroft was going to come in in round one. And now
Zach Reed, 80.
I like to think that I'm talking things into existence. And the whole reason that I was talking about Zach Reed going well is because I think that there, for some teams, could be a play where you use that score from Zach Reed. Hopefully you've looped it on.
Please have the emergency on him.
Yeah, and maybe that just buys you a week with some of the dog shit players we've got in defense.
Yeah, I think it is something that we can definitely consider. Although I think a lot of us do have the two defenders on the bye round this week. So whether or not you're keeping Perryman or not, you probably will be able to take that score if you've got the Matt Roberts. So Not sure if your logic, you know, falls down a little bit there, but it definitely is nice to have nice to have that 80 locked in as at least one of our scores that will probably count in our best 18 from an unlikely source.
Before we jump into the rest of the game, because trust me, there's things I want to talk about, but somebody's dived in, or a couple of people dived in with super chats already, and we can't let those super chats go unanswered. What's the first one?
Well, Luke here, I'm not sure if this is your burner account here, mate, but Luke is asking Day and Perryman to Wang and Chera with 1K left off, or Dale / Wang and Nevitt and 300K to 400K left over. What are your thoughts here?
I don't mind around this time of year having maybe a little bit of money left over. And I think the good thing about potentially going to Nevitt is you know that you're hoping that we're going to generate some cash. You're getting a keeper in, I would say, Wang instead of Dale in the back line. And you're setting yourself up for big moves next week as well. Trading Day.
Yeah. Are we going to go there now? Because
We won't go into detail, but yeah. I'm going to go the second option for you, Luke, in particular.
Look, I like both of these trades. I think you could make an argument for both. It really does come down to what is your plan with that money next week. The thing that I maybe lean towards the first one in is I think that there might be some rookies next week that we're going to want to have to get. And I think that there's a possible scenario where we might be doing a double downgrade next week. We've got the Port Adelaide rookie, which we'll talk about in a sec.
Mariah Erasmus.
And Bice, who, if he's named, looks like one of the better defensive rookies to bring in. So having that extra cash next week, I'm not sure will come into play as much as maybe it did this week. So I think Chera, compared to Nevitt, is still probably like 10 to 15 points under price, and he's someone that I think I'm more confident holding all the way through to his buy.
Fair analysis.
For that reason, I'm going to go the first option.
Jason's jumped in with a super chat as well. Not to ask a question, just to tell us that his weekend's cooked already. He's traded in Farrell for Perryman, and we had a few questions about Kane Farrell.
Yeah, I wasn't keen on any of those mid-price defenders, but he was maybe the one that I was like, if you have to go one of them, I'd go there, and obviously it didn't work out.
And this is the thing, we were probably advocating for trying to get up into that next tier, your Wangs, your Sinclairs, these kind of guys. And what we saw last night from Port Adelaide reaffirmed to me that week to week, we're going to see Evans go well, we're going to see Bergman go well, we're going to see Farrell, and we don't like that from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, 100%. Just while we're on it, what's your boy Bergman averaging now? Because he did 87 average.
That's good enough.
Not bad.
Not good enough from the iceberg.
I reckon that's all right. But yes, what else happened in that game? Let's talk about the horny boy. My question to you here, Luke, is he a dud?
Short answer is yes. Last week, I said that watching the horny boy made me feel very unhorny. This week was even worse. I wanted to take a vow of celibacy. That's how unhorny I was.
He saved the score, too.
I almost went over to my daughter and said, "You're not having a sibling," because I am feeling that unaroused by Jason Orne Francis. These are the levels that we are getting to of frustration, and I don't think I'm alone in this.
No. I think the thing that, for you particularly, that makes you more frustrated is that all preseason you were not keen on him, and then he somehow found his way into your side.
Disgusting. Disgraceful behavior from me.
He had 38 points at three-quarter time.
It's sickening stuff. And not only was, I'm sure, the fantasy community just disgusted, but I think other people are starting to go, "Hang on a second, young fella. You're meant to be a gun of the competition, and is it a little bit fumbly?
All jokes
not looking good."
All jokes aside, is he still a top six forward?
The only reason I say that, I mean, I'm not going to trade him, is because he's well down the priority list. I've got a stinky, stinky team. And also, if he doesn't come good, like, who is? Mm. I think, you know, obviously Rankin, McRae, Daniel Smith. Who takes the remaining two spots? Who's putting their hand up?
I mean, there might be a little bit of DPP potential. Who that is, I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, look, it's a rough start. You don't want to pick these guys price at 90 for them to go and average 70. We said before the podcast, when we started rolling, he's averaging 7 more points than Zach Reed, which, you know, key defender, rookie player.
You don't need to keep rubbing it in, mate.
That's not exactly what you want. But, yeah, it is a shame. We may talk about him as a trade-out option potential next week. So we mentioned with that super chat there that the Farrell was a bit of a failed pick, at least for that week.
Farrell Fizzle.
Farrell Fizzle. Yet to be seen whether or not you sort of hold or immediately kick him out the next week. Tough one there. Connor Rosie. A lot of people went the VC.
Not if you subscribe to the Patreon and you got the early access to the big boys.
Yeah, if you're on the Patreon, the big boys, he was on there. He was in the top 10, but I think there's a lot of popular players ahead of him. So I had him at 8.
That's ballsy, mate.
Well, a concern about a tag because he dominated Richmond last week, and then we did see Durham go to him very hard, and he saved his score again to an 84 or whatever he scored.
There was not just
40 Durham. Points at three-quarter time.
Yeah, there was a level of physicality that Essendon brought to him in particular early in that game. So
both teams were on a five-day break, I think, as well, from memory. So,
I mean, looks like people who had the VC there are going to have to back in a C option this week.
Yeah, which just brings a little bit of... a little bit of variance, I think, which is good. And then the last thing we will say, Christian Moraes, 93. Is he looking like the number one trade target already for next week? I think yes.
I brought his name up midweek with you, and you looked at me like I had three heads.
I'd never heard of the bloke.
You told me to pipe down. You said, I wouldn't know that guy if he stood up in my porridge. And I said, I think this guy's a guy.
The tough thing is when you debut against Richmond and you score 60, you sort of look at that and go, all right, that's what you're supposed to do. But he looked great last night.
I told you, he passes the vibe check too, because after his first game...
And
I,
you are all across the rookie vibes right now.
I'm a vibe guy. He, in his post-match presser last week, he got really choked up and was so, proud of himself, which he should be. And I thought, that's a nice guy. That's a guy that deserves to get a run at the Oxlongs.
He was, I want to say, like top three in Port Adelaide scoring. So I think he's bought himself a few weeks, and I do think that he's going to become someone that we're definitely going to want to have in our side next week. So that was last night's game. We'll talk about the team sort of names getting dropped and all that sort of stuff, the reactions. We've got another red dot, or a purple dot at least.
Yeah.
Luke, we've got Lucas Camporeale, he's been dropped. Not as surprising after his performance last week. Our red / purple dots are piling up a little bit. So I know myself, I have three, maybe some players we'll talk about Garcia, who still have the sub potential risk. Is this getting concerning now?
One's not so bad because we know that a red dot can be handy. But once they start to pile up, I think if you start to have more than two, you start to think about cash generation and how that impacts you this time of year. So there's definitely a temptation when we've got these underpriced premiums, popping good scores, you guys like Dawson that you become a bit infatuated with, that you then kind of just neglect your cash generation a bit, and then maybe that comes around to bite you in the ass later in the year.
Yeah, I agree. I think last year I carried two red dots for the entire season, so I'm comfortable with two. Three, I start to get, okay, I need to address this. I think, assuming he's not a late in or anything like that, and he's out again next week, I think you can sit on it for this week, but I would have plans in place maybe for next week with, again, some of those, the Port Adelaide rookie, Bice, and those sort of guys coming in. I think we start to need to have a look at making sure our bench is looking healthy and we're generating the cash there, because, two or three weeks we'll be into upgrade season and we will need that cash to keep going. Toby Trevallier, he's named. Do you think he's going to be named on field, or do you think he's going to be named the sub? And the flow-on effect, does this save Hugo Garcia from the sub?
Yeah, I think it certainly could save Garcia. It's one of the ones, I think, where you get to have a look at it anyway, because he's actually a reasonably expensive rookie at a starting point. He doesn't have that significantly low break-even where he's just going to escape you straight away. So I think even if he wasn't the sub, this is one I'd probably still want to have just a little sneaky peek at.
Yeah, I'd want to have a look at it. The thing that makes me think he will be the sub is because he was used as the sub essentially in both of their preseason games. Like, he came on in that last quarter. He's like a skinny kind of body, so maybe they're trying to protect him a little bit from that point of view. And it's Richmond, so Hugo Garcia might be a chance for him to get a bit of exposure and time in there. So fingers crossed for suckers like me who still have Hugo Garcia that he can come on at least not go down in price with his 49 break even, and then maybe he's an issue for future weeks. So I think there could be potentially some silver lining there. Geelong, a lot of things happening over Geelong.
But one thing not happening.
Rhys Stanley.
You beauty.
He's not in. So a lot of people panicking. They thought, oh, no, they got smashed. You mentioned in a wet game, you don't bring in more tools.
I don't think so.
I think that's exactly what they're doing here. So at least for one more week, we don't have to worry about another Ruckman coming in. It's definitely a tougher matchup now than his first couple of weeks, especially that first week. But I think it alleviates any concern that he's going to completely shit the bed.
Yeah, Tom Stewart, I'm of the understanding, is still a test. Am I right in saying that?
So Bailey Smith and Stewart are named to play, and they've also been cited as they're flying to Brisbane.
Okay.
So the expectation is that Bailey Smith will play. I think he's more likely to play. Stewart, I think the expectation is he's going to play, but knowing Geelong, maybe more of a chance for a laid out.
Would seem very weird to fly a guy to Brisbane.
Yeah, especially a guy like Tom Stewart, who's, you know, he's over 30. And
you're not coming up here for the sunshine this weekend either.
No, not this weekend. It's not Sunshine State this weekend.
I had the moist meter out earlier today, and I'll tell you what, it was pinging.
It's right up there. So, yeah, look, if you trade out Bailey Smith, he comes back in, do you think you'd suck up your pride and trade him straight back in?
Well, I guess, let me ask you this. If take away the fact that it's Bailey Smith, take away the fact that you started him, if there was a guy that was priced at, you know, 650, break even of 21, proven scoring potential, and has a 126 to his name, that to me sounds like a trade-in target.
I'm 100% trading that in.
So
price is 66. There's a chance he puts 40 points on that.
So I think you might have to suck it up. The only justification that I could kind of come up with for holding is...
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Thinking, oh, well, is he underdone? If he comes out and pops an injury, am I ahead of the game early? But I think that the pros outweigh the cons,
yeah,
potentially.
Yeah, the risks outweigh. And his break-even's like 14. So I think he... 21, sorry. So he goes and puts a 75 up. He's still gone up 50K.
Yeah.
And if you envision your team having Bailey Smith at some point, why not get him now 50K cheaper? Do you know what I mean? Like, why not? Why wait for you to just pay more later for a guy that you know you're not going to want anyway? So I'm definitely of the opinion that if you traded him out, look, there was a bit of uncertainty at the time. Now that we know, touch wood, that he's back after 1 week, I think it was a conservative thing for him not to play last week. I think you trade him back in as a pretty high priority, in my opinion. The last couple of things, James Leake, he's finally sunk.
Nice. You've actually typed that.
Yeah,
in
I actually
well.
Typed it in just so I remember didn't forget jokes. It.
Yeah.
So he's out, and Jack Graham looks to be back for the West Coast Eagles. He was he a laid out, or at least he was out last week.
He was.
After having that 90, I want to say, in round one. I'm not sure if he's a guy you launch straight into, but is at least a watch, I think, as a forward option compared to maybe some of the other options. There's not too many others to choose from, I think, there. But not sure I'd go there straight this week, but I think it's definitely one at least to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Do we have any extended bench action?
I didn't think that there was too much that we were watching, but let me triple check. Confirming Sunday... No real changes for Adelaide North. We've got Borlase coming in, but that's not really a thing. Clay Hall omitted. There's only the two games on the Sunday, which is probably why. There's no debut for Bo Allen. They said that up, that he's just not quite ready, and Clay Hall was omitted. So, look, I think not too much to discuss there. I think it's basically... What we see is what we get with some of those guys. So, yeah, pretty light on the extended bench front for the Sunday squads.
We love it. That means we're going to have more time to answer some questions at the end. But before we do so, you're just getting a little toey over there, aren't you, mate? Let's do some big boys.
Woo! Let's go!
We're getting better with the timing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm in sync. Last week I was just working it up. But the big boys, we're back, baby. We went pretty good last week. Risked the 107 with the VC on TDK. Paid off with a big 145 on Connor Rosie, who was the number one trade, number one big boy. So we had number one big boy in Tristan Sherry go 129. Last week, number one, 145. This week, it feels a little bit like we're just picking the best score of the year so far and copy-pasting, but it's all about the matchup. Number one big boy for round three is Jack McRae, who put up a monster performance last week. Highest score of the season so far. Tackles, marks, disposals. And he comes in and he versus Richmond under the roof. Richmond hates playing at Marvel at the best of times. Talk about the worst of times. I just don't see a world where he doesn't go at least 110. That's probably a little old reverse Moz there, or a little Moz there.
That's straight up Moz.
And I don't see Richmond tagging him. Like, they didn't tag really last week. If you're not going to tag Connor Rosie, why are you tagging Jack McRae?
Am I right in saying this is a little bit aggressive compared to what, you know, some other people are suggesting from captains this week? It's almost hard to believe that two games ago, Jack McRae was a dud in terms of fantasy.
Well, yes. We hadn't seen him do this for a long time.
Yeah, he had that untapped potential, of course. Yeah. Is it crazy to be having to roll the C into him after one huge game and one...
I'm looking through the captain's challenge right here, and I think he's pretty much in everybody's top five.
Okay. The matchup is just...
I'm seeing the Fanatics here. They've got him at number one. I know... where did Calvin have him? Calvin had him at number four. So he's up there for everybody. There's only a few people that have him at number one. So the Fanatics and Pig Mentality, I think, are the only other two captain pickers that have him at number one. But I just think he's not someone coming off a big performance that I expect to get tagged like I thought with Rosie. And he's just got that beautiful, beautiful matchup. Like the Richmond Tigers, even despite them having a surprise win in round one, they are still giving up the most amount of fantasy points per game to other teammates. They're giving up the most disposals. They're giving up the third highest amount of marks. They're giving up the fourth highest amount of tackles. Like it's just everything is available against Richmond. And I think, yeah, McRae will feast. He's still motivated. Number two is his teammate. And this guy would have been number one if round one didn't exist. Rowan Marshall.
Oh.
If I didn't sit there in round one and watch this man hobble around at full forward, put ice on his knee, he would be at number one comfortably. His last several games, I think his last four games, he's averaged 130 against Richmond. He's coming off a 140, gets disposals. You know, if Tom DeConi can go 130 against Richmond, like Marshall could put up a 160 here.
Yeah.
Absolutely he could. The small flag that he's not number one is we've seen in matchups like this before, and the fact that he had ice on his knee in round one, there is a scenario where I see three-quarter time, we see an Isaac Rankin situation where he goes onto the bench, kicks his feet up. They're up 60 points. All right, Rowan Marshall, you're our only decent ruckman. Go sit down, rest up, get ready for next week. And they let the Keeler kid have a bit of a run on the ruck. So that's the small flag.
So good VC option if you could, even though he's high on the list?
Yes. He has the highest ceiling this week out of any player.
So I know normally you would advocate for the highest one on the list to be your captain, but if you wanted to put the VC on Rowan Marshall...
If you wanted to get a bit nuts and you were more confident in some of these other guys later in the round, then yeah, I think you could definitely do that. There's a little bit of part of me that just can't get round one out of my head. But he obviously looked back to his better last week, and the matchup for him is just as good as Jack McRae. Number three will be my VC for the third week in a row. It is my boy, and I'm claiming him as my boy. Tom DeConi up against our other boy, Tim English.
Oh, God.
He's going to kill him. He's going to absolutely monster him.
Don't tell me that.
Under the roof. he went 130 against Nank in a loss. I think the conditions just suit him really, really well here. The last couple of games against English, Darcy Cameron went 100 and obviously Tristan Sherry went 129 in that really hot game down in Melbourne. So I think Tom De Koning is a high floor, but also a fairly high ceiling player there as well. I don't think, like, he walks into 110, I think, in this game. Then I've got Jordan Dawson and Josh Dunkley to round it out. Little bit less confident from number three down. Jordan Dawson is just unstoppable right now. Like Connor Rosie, I think he might have just put a target on his back in the first two rounds. So wouldn't shock me if Will Phillips goes and stands next to him. The reason he's much higher than Rosie in my list is because I don't think he cares as much. He still scores. And I think Phillips is maybe just not big enough to run with him. And Dawson, I just rate higher as a player. Plus, he's put up four scores, all 120 or above, each time they played the Kangaroos last time. But I will say the Roos are looking better than years gone past.
Dawson's tough too, because you might say, okay, well, the Kangaroos might be, you know, more restrictive for mids or something like that. But yep. Jordan Dawson can literally play in all three lines and dominate. If he wants to go back and take some kickouts and get involved in waxy-waxy, he can. If they're pumping him and he wants to go forward and kick a bag of three, he can. If he wants to just do it in the midfield, no problem. So he's a beast.
Yeah, so he definitely deserves to be in the top five. Little flag on the attention that he might get. And Josh Dunkley, I have at number five. We thought that Will Ashcroft might ascend and maybe eat into his points a little bit. That isn't happening. The CBAs are still super high for him. You know, the Geelong matchup is a positive one, unless your name is Andrew Brayshaw and for some reason Mark O'Connor goes and tags you. But they gave up a lot of points last week to Saints players. In the wet here in Brisbane, I think he'll tackle very well and is, I think he's averaging over 120 so far this year. So he is at number five. If you want the full top 10, head over to patreon.com/ballboys where you will get them on the Thursday ready for your Thursday game. So potentially you avoid someone like Connor Rosie as a VC and still have two bullets left in your gun. That's it. That's the big boys.
Nice. Get those glasses off, Horatio Kane.
I can see again.
Well done. Did you ever watch CSI Miami?
Oh, from time to time. No, I couldn't quote you anything.
Just Horatio Kane with the glasses at the end of the intro scene every time.
Every time.
Off they'd come and answer, whoa!
I can picture it. But you want to go into our next segment here? I see it's blank for you as normal.
Mate, I like to keep you in the dark. It's Spicy Takes. Olé, 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 olé. Feeling hot, hot, hot. We are feeling hot, 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 and it's time for our Spicy Takes. As always,
why don't you go first?
Hold the maracas while I think of my spicy take.
Exactly what I thought. My spicy take is the old faithful, the old optimist take for me. Brayshaw, now you're old man. He gets a shout out most pods these days. I need to stop doing that, especially after he gave me the lookalike today. He said that Brayshaw, he alerted me to the Brayshaw's score against West Coast. It's his least favorite team to score against. His career high against them, he's never gone over 120 against West Coast.
Oh my God.
My spicy take is that ends this weekend. He brings us back. He outscores Dawson and he goes 120, 125 plus. That's my spicy take. There you go.
That's always great when your spicy take is for your M1 to do well.
Hot, hot, hot. It's a bit of lemon herb there.
Super.
Yeah, a bit of lemon herb.
No, I just meant it just shows where our team's at. If Brayshaw's sucking that much.
It does.
Okay, well, I thought that I was going to get away with my spicy take being Zach Reed to go 80 because that was pretty spicy. And
mate,
he already
has.
I called that Wednesday. So
no, didn't happen.
I've got a
video or it didn't happen.
Pivot. And I'm going to go as well with a hopeful spicy take. I'm going to say whether Will Day gets tagged by Toby Bedford or whether the tag doesn't come, Will Day, we're going to see three figures next to
three
his name.
Three figures!
We're going to see three figures.
A lot of people would be eating their hats if they saw that.
Hey, and they can eat away as long as he remains in my team and I get the three figures with him going into his
Will
bye.
Day, triple figures against the Giants. I like it.
Please, please.
There's a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Hope's a dangerous thing, Luke, but look, John Newcomb. John Newcomb, he has been playing very well. They've also tagged Will Day in 2.5 games. Hawthorn are 3-0. So for the teams that have tagged, it hasn't worked. So
hey, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'm going all right with the spicy take, so we'll see how we go.
All right, hopefully the optimistic take gets over the line. Drop your spicy takes down in the comment section below, guys. But also, get your questions ready because we're going to start going through them. We've got plenty of time. Good 20 or so minutes to go through as many questions as you can. If you want a guaranteed question answered, you can do one of two things. You can go over to patreon.com/ballboys and get your questions answered on our exclusive Q&A podcast on a Wednesday night. We just got done answering 122 questions on the previous Wednesday. Or you could also go over to askmeonq.com/ballboys. That's spelled Q-U. To get a personalized question answered in your inbox. If I don't get around to it, no charge at all. Or if something changes and you want to cancel that, you can cancel that free of charge as well. So askmeonq.com/ballboys. But let's read out some questions here, Luke. What have we got?
Well, first of all, I think John has absolutely seen right through us, and he says he thinks that maybe our spicy takes are wishful thinking for our teams to smash it.
Well,
you got us, John. Look. Guilty. Cuff me, John.
You must be new here, John, because that is all that segment is about.
It's all our segments are about.
It is just
us. Either gloating or just hoping we go well.
Yeah. Or sometimes I use it as a little reverse, little moz. Just, you know, get someone else who I want to go poorly, get them down.
It's all strategy, mate.
It's all mind games, mate.
Okay, before we get the first question, Darez says English, his spicy take is English to average 110 from here on in, so I'm all
hey, on. Look, okay. The man started a ton run.
Hey.
One game, but it's a ton run.
It is.
He could go big tonight. He could go well.
Alex wants to get your thoughts on his trade options here, Mitch. Foss to Nevitt and Day to Rankin. What do you think?
Foss to Nevitt, Day to Rankin. Look, I think trading out Finn O'Sullivan is a bit luxury. But in this case, I think you're making two upgrades. I think you're also getting two. Well, Rankin is a premium that you're going to absolutely keep for the majority of the season, if not the entire season. Look, let's talk about Day.
Yeah.
Because we alluded to it earlier, but let's talk about him in more detail.
We should give him the time of day. It's an important move.
Nice. I'm going to be holding. Now, I'm not against trading him. What I will say is, though, I am very... What?
You will say it.
I will say it. Is that...
No, just you said will. I thought it was part of your gear, but yeah, obviously no, it wasn't. No. Sorry.
There are some very clear people, I think, that are ahead of him in the terms of the trade-out priority. I would be absolutely trading out Perryman first. I would absolutely be trading out Hollins first. I know a lot of people have asked, do you want to trade out Hollins or keep Hollins over Day? My argument to that is if you think of your team and what you want your team to look like in 2 or 3 weeks, there is a very real scenario that Will Day is on that team. There is a 0.5% chance that Hollins is on that team. It is very, very unlikely that he is going to be part of your plans in 3 weeks' time. I know he has his bye next week. I just, for me, he falls right down the order. I'd be trading out Sanders first. So these type of moves, I think, need to be done before him. But I am okay trading him out, especially if you plan to trade him out next week. If you plan to trade him out next week, you might as well trade him this week because there's a chance he gets tagged. With all that said, I think it's an okay trade as long as you don't have either Perryman or Hollins to deal with.
My logic's a little less thought out.
Okay.
But here's my thinking. If Mitch is going to hold Day and it's your 30th birthday tomorrow.
Well, what? Don't tell everyone how old I am.
When will they play? Nothing bad could happen to someone on their 30th birthday.
Nothing, except for turning 30.
If you're holding him and I can get in some of that birthday splash, then I'm all about it.
If Will Day goes shit on my birthday, it's official. He hates me. He absolutely hates me. And it's personal. Like, he's doing this to spite me. I think that's sound logic.
Dyson says, Perryman to Zorko or Stone to Rankin? Ooh, Stone to Rankin.
Perryman to Zorko. I think you got to get Perryman out.
Yeah.
I know Rankin's probably a better buy, but Perryman, I think, has to go. He's put back-to-back 40s up. He's on his buy. He is not someone you want in your side after his buy. He's going to be going down cash. What if bullets hit next week and you're forced to hold him again? I think while he's out, just trade him. Yeah. I don't know if I go to Zorko personally, but I do endorse in this scenario going to a premium.
All right. If you are going to trade out Day, I'm guessing this is Bales on the Fanatics account. If you are going to trade out Day, are you going to Rankin, lock away a forward, or are you going to pocket some cash and go to Nevitt?
It's a good question. The thing is, if you miss Nevitt this week, I think you've missed him for good. He's probably going to go up another 60, 70K. And I don't think Rankin's going to be unreachable. So Rankin's got a break even of 86. Look, if you have some other moves you want to make next week and you might find yourself not being able to get Rankin in, he's the guy I want in my team over Nevitt. But if you can do both in 2 weeks, I would definitely go Nevitt first, Rankin next week.
Yeah.
I hope that answers
Bales'
question. So, yeah, I hope that answers his question.
You got one. Got one for me there.
Which trade, O'Sullivan and Track for Frazier and Nevitt, or wait, hold on. O'Sullivan plus Track, or Frazier plus Nevitt, or Sinclair plus Chloisey. I'm assuming these are trade ins.
Yeah. So which combination of trade ins?
Which combinations? What are your thoughts here?
I think of these ones, I like the idea of Sinclair and Closey, or an alternative, Wang and Closey potentially as well. I don't mind Petrarca as a trade-in as well, but I don't know whether I'd be trading into O'Sullivan unless this...
O'Sullivan is like the only defender rookie, and this is where, because we don't love a lot of those mid-price defenders right now, you kind of feel like you're either going right to the top or you're going to a rookie.
Yeah.
The issue I also think that O'Sullivan has is we're going to have a better rookie next week, I think, if he's not the sub or if he's dropped or anything like that in Bice. So his spot just kind of feels like filler right now.
Yeah, I probably agree.
So I think I'm with you and I'd go the last one. If there's a way to maybe hold off, I know Sinclair plays before you'll know if Closey's the sub or not on the weekend, on Saturday.
Yeah.
I know you've got some exciting plans there as well.
I got some things I'm going to try and do. No doubt I'll fuck it up. But TJ has snuck in with a super chat, and this is a question that I think a few people will potentially have, is the Day over Hollands. If you've got both of them, then they're both probably on the chopping block for you. What it gets you to on the other end can be something that I think can help you justify your move. And what TJ says is, if I trade Day, I'm going to get enough cash to take Perriman up to Wang or Sinclair, who we think are going to be top six defenders potentially, instead of trading Hollands and then potentially compromising on like an 850K defender.
Yeah. I think in this scenario, yes, you can do that. This point of the year, we're trying to not bring in more headaches.
Yeah.
And I think those 850K guys, like the people who would have traded in, who was the Port guy?
Morais.
No, the defender. What kind of thing?
Farrell.
Farrell. The people who traded in Farrell last night, that now might be a headache that they want to deal with in a few weeks. I don't want any more of those headaches right now. So if that can avoid that happening, then I think that's the kind of situation where, yeah, you can probably trade Day over Hollands, that Hollands is probably going to be traded out next week.
I'm going to assume that in this case, TJ's trading maybe Hollands to Nevitt. That's why he's not getting enough cash to go up to those guys. But if you trade Hollands down to a rookie to get up to those, is that something that you're ticking off?
This is a very difficult question to answer. Because I am forecasting next week's rookie options to be better than this week's rookie options. So that's why I'm more keen to get someone like a Nevitt this week. But if you can't do that from a Hollands...
Just bite the bullet and do it from a Day.
Bite the bullet from the Day.
Can Hollands go well against the Dogs? It's tonight, isn't it?
I'm not expecting him to. I really don't think he's going to. There's also a bit of a flag. I heard Drew Jones talk about this in his podcast with the Warn Dogs. They dropped two wingers in Camporeale and brought in a defender. There's a chance he's back on the wing.
And if I'm honest, he probably scores better there than what we've been seeing. He's probably at least going to put out a 70.
He might not have to defend, which we saw him last week defending against Dylan Moore, but it's not the role you sign up for in the preseason.
No, it's not.
It's a tough one to answer because it's hard to know with everyone's team. My advice for everyone would just be forecast what you're going to be doing next week. And if you see a scenario where if you're holding either one for more than a week, I'm definitely rather holding Will Day. If you're pretty confident you're going to be able to get both out in the next 2 weeks, then I will tick it off. if it means getting the preferred guys in this week, because I do think next week's rookies are going to be better.
Sneaky little rookie question here, speaking of them. Are we fielding Davidson or are we fielding Hall for the Richmond matchup? Because I'm guessing not a lot of people will have the red dot to potentially give Davidson a go tonight.
Yeah, we don't have the blue or red dots in the forward line. I am probably going to back in Hall at this stage.
The Richmond matchup is good. But to be fair, we've seen Davidson do some pretty special things in the preseason.
I mean, Hall's averaging 10 more points as it is.
Yeah.
You know, he put up 82 in a bad game where he, you know, the team got smashed.
Like, could get some goals as well, yeah, I think, against the
Tigers. I think I'd back in the matchup there.
Okay, Jaya has jumped in with a super chat as well. Much appreciated. Hey, lads, do I take Bowie and Kapow?
Kapow!
Or Bowie and Clayton? Or do I take Lindsay and Whitfield for Day and Perryman?
Bowie and Kapow, or Bowie and Clayton, or Lindsay and Whitfield for Day and Perryman. So I'm assuming this is all Day and Perryman out. I think it's the last one, Lindsay and Whitfield. I still think Lindsay is... I know last week I said Ashcroft. I think Lindsay's the number one rookie. The guy just looks class above.
Yeah, and I think you can be really confident on his job and role security, even though it's not going to be the best role in the world. He's a rookie, but it's going to be better than maybe picking a Bowie and then suddenly, you know, Stephen May's back in and the kickouts aren't there and that's a headache you have.
What do you think Lindsay can average?
I go mid-70s, maybe even conservative there.
Yeah?
Mid-70s.
If he averages 75 over the next 5 weeks, he's still going to make over $200,000.
Yeah, and you
that's
you're
very worth it.
You're locking away Lockie Whitfield. That's headache free.
Yeah.
Whereas for those other guys, I think there's potential headaches there.
Don't mind the Lockie Whitfield call. Their run for the defenders is not too bad. I think he's a little bit more unique compared to Sheasel and Zorko.
He's a captain option too in the right week.
In the right week, he definitely is a captain option. So, yeah, I think I'd probably go that way.
Okay, Matt's also snuck in with a super chat. We appreciate you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
And Matt says, who's he going day two? Is it Rankin? Is it Powell? Is it Petrarca?
To me, this one, I'm pretty confident saying Isaac Rankin.
What? So you also don't mind the Petrarca pick. So talk.
I don't mind the Petrarca pick. I also don't think you need to go Petrarca this week. He does play the Suns, so I will say that's a good matchup. But he's 919,000, which if I just pull up my little calculation here, he's still priced in the 90s. The exact figure will be revealed in a second once I figure out this spreadsheet.
Oh, we'll wait.
94. So he's priced at 94. I think he can be 100, let's say. I would have hoped to have seen him be in the CBAs more last week, but they did get smashed by the Roos. I didn't watch this game, so I don't know whether he maybe started more in the midfield and then floated forward as maybe the game was a bit out of hand and maybe they were resting him a little bit. But I think he has a chance to be 100, and to me, that's a guy you can hold on for a long time. But I think Rankin could also potentially be 100 and be in your forward line. And he's cheaper. He's the cheapest lot, the cheapest one out of all of those guys. And I see a very real possibility that he actually outscores both of those other boys.
Yep. Fair summary. We've got a few super chats sneaking in. So
keep coming, guys.
Yeah,
thank
we're
going
to answer Sam's now. He says Lawler to Nevitt or Perryman to one of Rioli, Salem, or Freya.
Sorry, Fraser Lawler. Crane. Can you scroll up here?
Oh, sorry.
See it? Yeah, yep. Lawler to Nevitt or Perryman to one of Rioli, Salem, Frazier. What are your thoughts on? We didn't speak about this on the Patreon. Name I forgot. Rioli. What are your thoughts on Rioli?
My thoughts on Rioli have been pretty consistent, not only this year, but I feel like, you know, even when he was playing in that halfback role at Richmond.
Great player,
but he's kind of like sub. Top six level scoring at Richmond was nothing to do with the role. Yeah. He was in a great role. It's just the type of player he is. Like, you want...
He's not a guy that kicks it to a player, gets it back, kicks it to another player, gets it back. He gets the ball, he kicks it 50 metres.
He'll have 20 touches.
Run, bounce the ball, handball. Okay, they're off. He doesn't get that waxy stuff.
So I don't think for Sam's question, we're not big fans of Rioli from a fantasy perspective. Salem, I think, has this little flag of one of the thirstiest.
If you want to get rid of Lawler, though.
The thirstiest kick out guys. And then Fraser Crane, we think maybe the ship sailed there. Yeah, I would be. I mean, we don't know what Sam's team looks like, but I'm looking to go down from someone to Nevitt rather than Lawler to Nevitt, because Lawler's still got cash to generate.
Lawler's still got cash to generate. Like, he's going to play more and more midfield, I think, every week. His job security is probably better than Nevitt's, to be honest.
So from Sam's perspective, if you're going to go the second, then Rioli, Salem, or Fraser Crane. I'll go Fraser Crane, but it still has an expiry date on it.
He's the cheapest. I don't think any of them are long-term hold-to-your-buy type players. So, yeah, I probably would go Fraser and cross my fingers that he can put up a good score. He's played well, and I will say he put up a 75 last week, but I think in Supercoach he put up a decent score as well. So he's doing the right things. One mark last week compared to six the week before. So, you know, maybe, you know, he's so far over two games averaging 89. If he does put up that 85 to 90 score, he is still 10 to 15 points unders, which is pretty good at this stage.
Patrick, we appreciate your super chat, mate. He says, would you go Pout and Nevitt, or would you go Dunkley and Henderson, meeting that we field Lindsay in that scenario?
Hollins and Day, Dunk's good run, and sick of failing mid prices. Yes.
You and me both, Patrick.
This really depends on what you think of Powell. I have flip-flopped more than a catfish and a moon bouncer on Powell. Where are you at with him right now? Because I still don't know.
I think I'm in that position where it wasn't one that I was big on in the preseason, and every week that goes by, I kind of just feel like...
You feel like you've missed it.
I've missed it.
Price at 89.
Going to it feels dirty. The problem is, like, this is not... His scoring potential is not an unexpected thing. This is not like a guy that we've never seen score before and suddenly he's in a great role and he's scoring. Like, we've seen him in a decent role. We've seen him score really well. And so I think there's just this little thing in the back of my mind, whether it is based in reality or not, that goes, at any point, Powell might just not be that guy. Maybe they go for, you know, a Simpkin. It's a Simpkin Sheasel. It's like these guys that are scoring. And I think in one of North Melbourne's games, I can't recall which of the two it was, they had like four midfielders and Sherry all go over 110. Was it the first game?
First game against the Dogs, yeah.
So, I mean, that's unbelievable in itself. Yes,
there were points there.
There were points there. And he also is one of those guys that will, I think, in the right role, get a lot of disposals, but there's always just this little question mark on how many marks and kicks he can add.
31 disposals, kicked a goal as well, and only scored 98. I think on the second one. I think also fielding Lindsay, I think the optimal team structure is having both Ashcroft and Lindsay on your field. I think we should all be trying to get to that point by round five. But the sooner we get there, I think the better.
Yeah, yeah. Connor's question is Zorko or Wang? Wang leaves 160K, so we can go Camporelli to Morales and Hasty to any rookie or Bice. Zorko leaves 40K, so can only go Campo to Morales, leaving Hasty. This one, I think, is the perfect time to go for the cheaper guy.
Yeah, I think so too.
You get Wanganeen Miller, who's hopefully going to get a beautiful sugar hit this week. You're going to feel really good about that trade. And he's a guy that has a chance of staying in your team for the rest of the year. And then the way you put it, Connor, is perfect. If you want to do two rookie fix-ups next week, you're just going to be in just a legendary position to do that, stress-free. And there's every chance that Wang goes better than Zorko, you know, this week, and you feel good about it anyway.
Yeah, from a scoring point of view. Look, Zorko is priced at 116.
He's got a great run.
Nazai Wanganeen-Miller is priced at 104. Now, I don't think Wang is value per se, but I think that's a fair price.
Yeah.
Versus I think Zorko is overpriced.
Zorko has shown an ability to get amongst it when it's moist in the past, but
116 is just too much.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And when the moist meter's going up, going off up here in Queensland, there's a chance that it takes him out of the game a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. So I'm definitely, weighing in that situation.
What's Joey got for us, Mitch?
Joey, lads, who am I starting at F6, Hall, Davidson, or Stone? I think we've said Hall, right?
Yeah, Hall, good matchup.
Not Stone. It's definitely not Stone.
No, so in that order.
He'll sink your team.
Of your consideration. We'll just gloss right over that one. So Hall's averaging more than Davidson. He's got the better matchup this week. Even though Davidson, I think, showed the ceiling, I think Hall's maybe the safer bet this week.
Ryan wants to know what's for dinner tonight. Well,
and he's paying for dinner too. Thank you for the super chat, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. What are you having for dinner?
Well, actually, you've got a better story than me, I believe.
Well, yes. Well, as you let slip, it is my birthday tomorrow. So my lovely partner is treating me to a bit of a fancy steak dinner tonight, somewhere I haven't been before. I know it's in South Brisbane somewhere. I don't actually know the name of the restaurant. She's going to surprise me. But yeah, splashing a bit of cash on some nice steak tonight.
Nice.
What about you?
Well, I didn't cop the invite to the fancy steak dinner, so I don't know what it is for me tonight.
A little bit weird.
Maybe some Dirty Bird. I get a Zinger box.
Oh, that'd be nice. Nah, the steak will be good. Yeah, nah. That's our usual Friday night, you know, some kind of takeaway and watching the footy. Hopefully English can get it done in my absence.
All right, let's sneak in a couple more questions before we let everyone go have a fiddle with their teams. Dean says, my team sucks. Sorry, Dean. Ours does
you can
too.
Do it, Dean. It's all good, mate.
You're not alone. You're not alone, Dean. He says my team sucks, and then
my internet drops out.
So
where's?
Oh, here we go. I've got him back. Haynes is a high break even or Perryman who won't lose cash but can trade next week.
Oh, the Haynes is a killer one, and he's tonight as well. Yeah, I think you got to prioritize Haynes over Perryman.
Yeah,
I think they both have to go, but. Maybe it is a case of one at a time. I think in this situation, I would, trade Nick Haynes out first.
Yeah, for sure. Draft question from Jake. McRae or Dawson for captain? It's got to be McRae.
It's got to be McRae, man.
It's the number one big boy.
Number one big boy. Richmond put up 150. I'm not expecting a tag. Touch wood. I think you go that way.
To be fair, it would be so tempting in draft to just leave the C on Dawson all year.
It would. What if I told you?
Tell me.
Then McRae is averaging more than Dawson.
Is he really?
He is. He's averaging one more point than Dawson. And I know it's like obviously fucking two-game sample size, but there you go. You would say that Dawson's had a better season so far, but it just takes one game, and he's got the matchup.
Yeah, no, he certainly does.
Give me two more, Luke.
Okay, Tristan's question says, if we don't like the underpriced defenders, who's the best underpriced mid to bring in, Petrarca, Powell, or Callaghan? We've discussed kind of Petrarca or Powell. Let's talk about Callaghan.
Middle and beginning of the week, I was saying Powell. I'm flipping. I'm going to go Callaghan of this group.
Okay.
He is priced the cheapest at about 86. I don't think he is the guy that can go 100, but I think he can go mid-90s. And I think at 86, 10 points of upside, it's enough to hold through to the buys. I think that's good enough for me. And I also like the fact that Tom Green is back and he's not going to cop attention, I don't think. I think Green's going to still take that role. What are your thoughts?
I'm still a little sketchy on both of them. But you said Petrarca is your first option outside of... Or you're going to put Callaghan above Petrarca as well?
I was that until I saw the CBAs for him. I'm going to look this up while we maybe answer the next question, but I want to have a look at Petrarca's CBAs quarter by quarter because that will tell me, I think, if he... Okay, leading CBA midfielder in quarter one, five in quarter two. Oh, and then right down. Yeah, so he played full forward at quarter three and essentially a three CBAs in quarter four. Okay, no, I'm still Petrarca, top of that list. I think he has the chance. He has the best chance of all of them to be the keeper. And he's still a fucking gun. So, yeah, Petrarca, Callaghan, Powell in that order.
Okay, beautiful. Last question. Brendan's got a question here. He says, Perryman down to O'Connor and then go Day to a Primo.
Mm-hmm.
Say Dawson. Or Perryman to Fraser Crane, then Day down.
To a
Nevitt or Powell.
Powell
or Callaghan wouldn't be.
I mean, that's kind of sideways, isn't it? I mean, if you've got that much cash that you can go Perryman to Fraser and then Day to a Powell, that probably tells me you could go to a Nevitt and afford...
Ford Wang or something.
Better like than Fraser. Like, if you could afford a Holmes or a Dale, those are kind of the two cheapest premium defenders that I'd be okay with. They're like 960K. I would go there. I hope that you can afford that. If you can't afford that and you want to choose between those two options, I probably would go the second because I'm just not that keen on O'Connor. What are your thoughts?
O'Sullivan.
Sorry. Yeah, he says O'Connor. Is it O'Sullivan?
I'm assuming...
Who the fuck is O'Connor? Mark O'Connor, or is it O'Connell? Oh, there's too many O's. I don't like either of them. Let me put it that way.
You frazzled us, Brendan.
O'Connor or O'Sullivan, I don't like either of them.
Okay, before we get frazzled by any more O names, I reckon we let these people rock and roll.
Yeah, let's do it. Let us know down in the comments section, guys, after the fact, if you have any spicy takes, any questions, or just want to have a little brag about how your team is going, head over to patreon.com/ballboys to get some extra exclusive content, including the big boys early, my weekly trade targets, Rodro's round review, and the exclusive Q&A podcast. And make sure you guys like, subscribe, and hit that big old thumbs up, buddy. And we'll see you on Monday to review the round. Bye.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.